Good morning and welcome to Conversatio, the Belmont Abbey College podcast. This podcast aims to form and transform our community so that each of us can reflect God's image. I'm Mike Ellis, class of 1990, and Director of Alumni Relations at Belmont Abbey College. I'm your host for today's episode, and I'm especially pleased to be joined by two fellow Abbey alums. With us, we have Jacob Cicerelli, a 2013 graduate from Belmont Abbey and founder of Loden, a sales leadership agency aimed at helping startup companies grow. Also, we have with us Jared Orton, who is also a 2013 graduate. He serves currently as the president of the Savannah Bananas Baseball Club out of beautiful Savannah, Georgia. For today's episode, we're discussing how we can lead with our faith in the modern workplace. But before we get started, I'll let everyone introduce themselves. So, Jacob, can you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Yeah, thanks, Mike, and thanks for having me. I'm a member of St. Anne's here in Charlotte, North Carolina, with my wife and four kids, if you can believe it, since the Abbey, 7, 5, 3, and 1 year old. I've been in tech, specifically tech sales, for the last decade, and I finally, about 3-4 months ago, launched my first venture. So excited for that. And then I'm also an active member of Young Catholic Professionals here in Charlotte. So
fantastic. Well, welcome, Jake. Thanks for taking the time to be on the podcast. Jared, if you could introduce yourself, that'd be great.
Yeah, thanks. I'm excited to have this conversation. And it doesn't feel like it's been, 10 or 11 years. It feels like it was yesterday that we were, stepping onto the campus at Belmont Abbey. And it's certainly a memorable place. I'm from North Carolina originally. So, just about 2 hours up the interstate there from Burlington, North Carolina. And then right after graduating, just a couple years afterwards in 2015, moved down here to Savannah, Georgia. Never been to Savannah, Georgia before, and just kind of on a whim, we moved down here to start this team, and it has been quite the whirlwind ever since. And so we're having a lot of fun down here. I got married in 2015. We have a little girl who's 4, almost 5, and having a time of our life down here in Savannah.
Well, fantastic. And Jared, thanks for being on the podcast as well. Well, let's just go ahead and jump right in. Jared, I'll start with you first. How did your education at Belmont Abbey prepare you for your career path?
Yeah, I think when I think back about our time there and the education that was spent there, it was the first time I was ever introduced to the concept of sport management and the idea that, we could take what we do in sport and like the values that we have in sport. But then, I wasn't that great on the field by any means. So I was like, what could I do off the field? Right. And so, I remember having those conversations early on that like there's this entire world of sport that exists off the field. And that was so fascinating to me, and just understanding at that time, Charlotte as a landscape and like as a sport landscape, sport business landscape was really, beginning to develop. And there were so many cool things that were happening in that time, from motorsports all the way to the big sports. And then obviously what was going on with just all the festivals and events, just so much going on. And so that was really eye opening to me. And I think back to that time and I wonder, like, if I would have gone anywhere else, like, would I have heard that conversation? Would I have been able to be in that, that really cool, small Belmont, Mount Holly area, but then have, kind of the wide variety of options to be able to learn from and go see and visit in that Charlotte area. So that was super eye-opening to me. And I'm super grateful to have had just that initial conversation of like, how do you take what is happening in sport and the values and virtues of it and apply that to your business? And then that's just that beautiful thing. It's come together. So that was really, really exciting for me.
Fantastic. And Jacob, tell us a little bit about how the Abbey helped you.
Yeah. And I think when Jared and I first started, I recall it was somewhere like 35 or 40% of the student body was international. So being exposed to people from a ton of different backgrounds, sharing a ton of different ideas, and everybody motivated to go out. And the Abbey fostered this culture of really well-roundedness, similar to what Jared spoke of. And I think having that, being exposed to that, certainly prepared me right after for what I was about to get into right after school. And there was some excitement around new programs that were being developed. I originally joined Belmont Abbey as a pre-med student, and I fell into entrepreneurship. And there was a gentleman by the name of Jeff Thomas who was building a program from scratch. So, and I thought that program was phenomenal. I believe the business program is excelling incredibly today. Now just launched the MBA program. So I can't say enough about what that's done for me, what I learned from that, and how that prepared me for my first opportunity right outside of school. So yeah, incredibly grateful and blessed for how Belmont Abbey prepared me for the future.
Terrific. And Jacob, I'll stay with you. How do you see the values that were instilled in you from Belmont Abbey? How is that reflected in your postgraduate experience?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. You hear, especially in the corporate world, excellence, just that word come up so much. And excellence and virtue is plastered everywhere at Belmont Abbey. So great, obviously, connecting what we're going to have to accomplish in our professional lives with being excellent. Obviously, we want to do that in our personal lives as well, but then tying that into virtue. So the ironic thing is, though, and I think this is what Belmont Abbey taught, is you can't be excellent if you're not focusing on the virtue. That almost has to come first. So, you know, like I mentioned earlier, the Belmont Abbey fostered this environment of us just being really well-rounded, starting really with the virtue, even though we see excellence come first there. But yeah, I mean, we have to be excellent in almost everything that we're doing, especially if we're trying to achieve great things. So hope that answers that.
Yeah, for sure. And Jared, any thoughts on that?
This is tough when you follow up. I mean, that was the exact thing I'm thinking about is the excellence. We were just down in Atlanta a couple weeks ago with the folks over at Chick-fil-A. I had a fantastic time there. And a quote from Truett Cathy that stood out to me was just simply, why not my best? Why not your best? Every single day, why not your best? And whether you're, you know, from him, you know, whether you're sweeping the toilets or sweeping the bathroom floor or wiping down the toilets, or whether you're launching a new venture and everywhere in between, you know, why not our best? That we were placed on this earth for a variety of reasons. We were created for purpose and to glorify God and all these things. And whether you are just a student who has just started or whether you've launched a career, you know, that excellence is something that stands the test of time. And so that's what I love it. I love thinking about it. Not that we'll ever get there, right? Like, not that we'll ever achieve it, but it's that pursuit, that ongoing pursuit of excellence that is just wonderful. And yeah, those core memories just stick out to me. For a lifetime, really.
Yeah, and I think it's just really great words of wisdom for the students coming out of the college. You know, now more recently, is that just if you're going to do something, you might as well be the best at it or try your very best.
Yeah.
So I'll just put this out there. Whoever wants to jump in can jump in. But how do you personally approach integrating your Catholic faith into your professional life? And I'll just go with anyone. Jacob, do you want to take that
sure,
one first?
Yeah. Yeah. I ironically have had a good bit of time to reflect on that specifically recently. I spoke at a young Catholic professionals event, and it was about living out our Catholic identity in the workplace. So ironic, the timing. And the thought just reflecting back on the last 10 years is ultimately, if we're called to be saints, I think the easiest way that we can try to be saints in our everyday life and live out our Catholic faith is in sanctifying ordinary work. Something that my father gave me advice on when I was trying to figure out my way about a year and a half in the corporate world. And he challenged me by saying, can you pray before every phone call that you're making? Can you pray before every email that you have? Every customer interaction, just pray, sanctifying, making holy, even the smallest and mundane of tasks. So, you know, I think we go out into the world and we think you have to have this great big platform to stand on. And Chris Stefanik says, your platform is where you are. It's where you are. And, you know, I think the easiest way for us to do that, especially when we're starting off in the corporate world or any type of job, is go out, sanctify the smallest of your tasks that you have, and glorify God in that. And you'll find that that works wonders. It did for me. So first thing that comes to mind.
Yeah. Yeah, it's fantastic. Yeah, I think, you know, early on in your life, you can potentially think that, well, if I'm not called to be in a, you know, ministry role, then, you know, I'm useless, right? Like I have no ability to influence people for Christ. And, you know, that is so difficult to kind of wrap your mind around, is like, well, I am called to be more like that. I can really share the love of Christ in a compassionate and kind way to anyone I interact with. And whether I am performing a vocational job somewhere, or whether, yes, you're in ministry, or whether you're, you know, volunteering with a group, like whomever you serve, we are going to serve people to glorify God in those ways. And especially when we are, you know, responsible for people, you know, we're here to lead people. You know, if you employees or leading yourself, or, you know, just maybe one person in your life, you know, leading with that integrity and that mindset of, I have been placed on this earth to be responsible, to share the love of Christ with people. And that is powerful. And you know, there's a huge responsibility in that. And we should not take that lightly to think, well, I'm not in ministry, so I don't have the same responsibility as those who are, you know, in the church or serving in a non-vocational way. It's like, man, this is a huge responsibility. And let's carry that with integrity, and let's carry that with the weightiness that it is, so that whomever we interact with knows, wow, there's something different about that person. And, you know, can we have a conversation about that? And can we invite them, you know, into our homes? And can we invite them, you know, out to lunch? Can we learn more about them as a person? And can we really pour ourselves into them so that, that is, as Jacob said, that God would be God would be glorified in everything that we do. So it's an honor. It's very heavy to be able to be in that position, right? Like it is a daily, hourly, minute by minute, you know, challenge that we have, but I don't know where else, you know, I would rather be to be able to do that. And as Jacob said, it is a daily prayer. God, would you use me today? Would you put me in front of someone today that I may be able to share the love of Christ with? And so that's my daily prayer. And certainly not perfect at it by any means.
And Jared, I'll stay with you just to kind of as a follow-up here, because certainly in the modern workplace, you know, kind of bringing your faith into the modern workplace presents challenges. Yeah. So what are some of the challenges that you faced in your time since Belmont Abbey, where you had to really try to balance your Catholic beliefs, yeah, with corporate expectations and workplace culture?
Well, I think you have a sense of, we've got a lot of younger folks in our office here, and people who are, you know, it's their first job and they're trying to figure out life and they've got a bunch of questions. And I think the probably the biggest one that has come across, I think, in our conversations as we've tried to invite people to church and invite people into our homes and things like that, my wife and I, is, you know, people have been hurt and people have been confused and people have had bad experiences, right? And people are like, nope, I want to stay about 100,000 feet away from any conversation like that. Right. And of course, we're not trying to force any of those conversations on them. We're trying to approach them in love. We're trying to approach them, again, with compassion and care and understanding that, man, people have a billion different backgrounds and people have a billion different experiences from across the world. But reminding them that, like, hey, we are just wanting to have this conversation with you. And so it's been super fruitful. Some of them have been a lot longer than others. Some have been like, yeah, give me like a year and I might come check that thing out. But, you know, just remembering that mindset of like, look, people are coming from all different types of walks and backgrounds and beliefs, and there's hurt and there's pain sometimes, and there's trauma and all these different things. But man, we're going to come at this thing with love. We're going to come at this thing with compassion. You know, we're not going to try to force anything on anybody, but show them like, hey, the invitation is open, right? The invitation is open. We are here for you. We want to help. And it's certainly fun to be able to do that with my wife, who we're able to kind of partner on this thing. And, you know, she's able to come at it from, you know, she's not the boss, right? She can come in and love on people and bring them coffee, and yeah. You know, she can have a much more tender-hearted conversation sometimes than I can. But it's been cool. It's been really cool to see. And you know, it's a labor of love over time, right? It's not going to happen just on day one. But you know, conversation after conversation after conversation, we kind of look back and we're like, man, look at what's happening. This is so cool.
Yeah. And Jacob, I'm thinking, you know, I'd be interested to hear about your experience prior to being a business owner that you are today. But when you first got into the workplace, what were some of the challenges that you faced?
Yeah, the first thing that comes to mind is it's a little less like this today. You're finding companies take more of a laid back approach, but the expectation of time and time commitment when you're trying to be perfect your craft and get very good at a specific job, whatever the role is that you had. You know, I joined a sales organization that was pretty much like Wolf of Wall Street in Charlotte, North Carolina. You know, and the expectations were, you know, who are the first people that are going to be at work, who are the last people that are going to be to leave. It was very rigid culture. And, you know, having just left Belmont Abbey, and that was an environment where you could just walk to church every single day, and you go to daily mass or frequent adoration. And now you find that a lot of things that you were doing then, you're not doing as much because you're giving so much to your work environment. So I think the corporate expectation of, well, they want so much from you. Now, obviously different cultures. I mean, we don't all have the pleasure of working for a great company like Savannah Bananas. I mean, that's probably where everybody from Belmont Abbey wants to go work.
Yeah,
but you know, when people go out, unfortunately, some people are going to choose companies that are probably going to challenge that particular expectation. And it was difficult for me just balancing my time with my family later in life. And as you continue to climb corporate ladder, you take on new responsibility. You know, it wasn't until recent reflection I thought of, wow, how often I used to go to things like daily mass, and I'm not doing as much of. Or smaller things, even like the prayer before emails and calls. So I think that time and figuring out that balance, something to just be hyper aware of when you're starting off in a new career. And, you know, we rise to the level of our goals, but we fall to the level of our system. So I found if I'm not scheduling in the time to go and do adoration or go to mass or to pray, probably isn't going to happen. So time. And we only have so much of it. It's not promised to us tomorrow. So I think that expectation, yeah.
For sure. And on the flip side, have there been instances where your faith has really provided that opportunity to make a positive impact within that corporate setting?
100%. Yeah. Thankfully, I've had the opportunity to step into leadership roles. I don't think ultimately you have to be a leader before you become a leader. And, but the ironic thing about, and the beauty of our Catholic faith is you hear everybody talk about leadership. The best Catholics or the best leaders all display, you know, Catholic based values, and they embody a Catholic identity. So I think, being the most Catholic version of ourselves actually benefits us in the corporate world because, you know, when you are espousing to be the best Catholic you can be, you ironically become the best leader you can be at work. And that typically leads to, increased responsibility that you're going to have, better relationships at work, you name it. So, yeah.
Yeah, and certainly I think the idea that the leadership in an organization, you know, you're going to bring your values and your your belief set's going to be there and it's going to run through the organization, whether you realize it or not. So I think it's a great point, Jacob, that you're making. Jared, do you have some thoughts on that as well?
Yeah, I think where when you get into an organization and, you know, you're trained for the skills, right? The hard, you know, black and white, I got to do this job, technical skills, physical skills, you know, mental ability, whatever, the relational skills, you know, that is something you don't learn that really, right? Like, I don't know if in any point of higher education, you don't learn like, okay, you're going to have to deal with people. And that is where your values come out, right? That is where like, you've got a choice to make in this moment. I've got this person, this human life on the other side of this phone call or this, you know, one-on-one conversation or this meeting or whatever I'm about to have. And how am I going to deal with this person? What is my character going to be? What is my integrity going to be? How am I going to speak into this person? How am I going to treat this person? And that is like, which way do you want to take? Because there's people on earth, obviously, that it's just going to be, it's my way. I'm going to bash it down people's throats and I'm just going to bang you over the head and I'm not going to speak kindly to people. And I've just felt like in our lives, you know, people talk about work-life balance and it's like, to me, work is life. Life is work. Like it's all life, right? Like, so I'm not going to change the way that I am at work outside of how I am at life, right? Like I want to speak to, you know, the people in our office, the people that we deal with. I want to speak to them with love and kindness and compassion and empathy, just as I would hopefully speak to someone, you know, at church or in my family or anywhere else. Now, you know, do we have different types of conversations sometimes? Of course, but with the same sense of values and, hey, I'm going to be the same person yesterday, today, tomorrow, whether you see me, you know, at Chick-fil-A or at work or at church or anywhere in between. And, you know, that's something that I felt like is just a huge commitment that people need to make once they get into the workplace and in life.
Yeah. And people, you know, people are smart. They know if you're sincere or if you're not sincere. So it's, you it's hard to fake it. That's for sure. When you're in a leadership type position, a president type position that you gentlemen are in. So I congratulate you for the work you're doing on that. There are companies out there that take an approach to any controversial subject, whether it's, you know, you want to talk about religion or politics, but there's a faith avoidance kind of approach that some companies take where they try to enforce a policy of, oh, leave these topics at the door. You know, we don't talk about religion. We don't talk about politics or social issues of the day. Do you find that that's beneficial or do you think it creates more conflict within the workplace?
I think from my perspective, you know, we've never, now we don't do a ton of policies in general. we're not a big policy, but now we obviously there's legal things we have to do. But you know, we've tried to have these conversations around like, what are people thinking about? Like, what's their background? Like, you know, like where do they come from? What are their experiences? I think it's naive to think that, you know, you're just going to get the same minded, same experience, same background, same geographic, same socioeconomic people and just get them all in the same building and, you know, you'll be great. That's called a cult, right. You know, where they can't leave. Like we need to understand where these people come from and what they're thinking about, what their backgrounds are. You know, we were all created equal, but there's so many different just things that people experience in their life. And, you know, we don't have a policy for it, but I do try to spend time just getting to know and listen to people, whether it's in a casual setting or around lunch or drinking coffee or whatever, just like, hey, I'm going to tell you a little bit about, you know, what I'm doing and where I'm going. And hey, on Wednesday night, I'm going over here. Or hey, you know, Sunday morning, here's where I was at. Or hey, you know, I was doing this. I met this person at church and here's where I was at, you know, after lunch. And like, you just having those conversations about like, here's just who I am as a person. Here's what I do. Here's what our family does. Here's where we volunteer at. Hey, let's talk about foster care. Or let's talk about, you know, Kelsey's youngest sister is adopted. And here's why her family chose to adopt her. And, you know, and then you start weaving in like, hey, we were all adopted, you know, ultimately we were all adopted into this thing. And it's those conversations that I feel like are more just genuine and authentic. Yeah. And just like, hey, here's who I am as a person. Here's who our family are as people, and not, hey, let's sit down and let's go through, a theological discussion. I don't know if people care for that, but just telling people, man, here's who we are. Here's what we're about. Here's what we like. Here's what we believe in. And here's what we believe about you as a person, and, letting us love on you and letting us care for you. And I think those actions open up more conversations about like, hey, I'd love to know, you know, I heard you say that. I heard you say that about your family. Or I heard that you guys do this on Sundays. Like, why do you do that? Where does that come from? And that's been our best opportunity, I think, to just break down those walls of like, oh, you're not supposed to talk about this. When in reality, it's like, let's just talk about what we are in life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And Jacob, what do you think on that?
Yeah, you know, somebody had just sent me something this morning, and it said, we could never learn to be brave and patient if there were only joy in the world. So, you know, you mentioned, well, is it if it's more challenging, does that make it any better? And it's like iron sharpens iron. I think the more challenging an environment, it makes us be that. I think we're not only required, but it does make bolder Catholics. So, I've seen that in the workplace personally. And, I think of ultimately we're called to be the best, we're called to be saints, want to sanctify ordinary work. Ultimately, that means that we should relentlessly pursue, as Jared has been saying, you know, the best version of ourselves. I think, just be the best Catholic you can be. It doesn't matter. You are going to encounter plenty of challenges and situations. Even at the best Catholic companies, there may be some type of ethical dilemma or something that's a bit ambiguous. So you're always going to find those. I think we have to be bold. We have to stand in our faith. And ultimately, if the calling is for us to be saints, then it really doesn't matter what type of work environment we're in. Like, we're called to be that. So, the goal is for us to get to heaven. So, you know, not going to let work stand in the way of that. Easier said than done, right? I failed at that a lot in my career. But surrounding yourself with really good people, doing things like prayer throughout your day, having a morning offering, at least that brings to mind the Catholic person that we should be throughout the day. So I think it helps us when we are faced with certain ethical dilemmas or challenges in the workplace.
Yeah. And going with that, Jacob, can you share an example of a situation where your faith, the principles that you have rooted in your faith, have influenced a difficult decision, like in a professional context?
I think you have to stand up for what you believe in, you know, and especially in a startup environment. Jared, I'm sure you can relate, as you were building Savannah Bananas, probably felt very startup-y, and being in a startup environment, not everybody is always cut out for the journey. And, handling those types of conversations, you know, you try to handle them with empathy and with understanding. We're also called not to procrastinate on those types of things. You could be delaying people from their purpose. And there have been times in my career where I didn't always handle those with the grace and the grace I should have. And thankfully, you know, you get better. And as you become a better Catholic and you learn from your mistakes, the best thing I've done is learn from, you know, you have mistakes, thankfully you're able to learn from them. And, I think I've had a handful of situations where, especially around hiring people, managing performance, you do your best trying to inspire people to become the best version of themselves. But there's times when, you may be led or directed to handle a situation. And, thankfully when I think of the times that I've been the best Catholic version of myself, those situations have turned out the best, ironically. So hope that kind of answers that for you, Mike.
No, it does. It does. And Jared, do you have any thoughts on that?
For me personally, I think that dilemma comes in, are you the same person that you are on Sunday that you are Monday through Saturday, right? And, you know, if you're going to go stand out there in the workplace and say, this is who I am, this is who I am as a person, this is what I believe in, and then those actions and words and deeds and conversations don't line up, man, what a detriment to our faith. What a detriment to, you know, our missionary, you know, ability to be out here to share the love of Christ with people. And people are like, that dude, he says he's at church on Sunday. He told me he prayed, but good grief.
Yeah.
Monday through Saturday, that thing is not the same that I expected it to be. And that's intense. That is really intense to, you know, center yourself each and every day and say, I'm about to walk into the world where I don't know who I'm going to encounter. I don't know what I'm going to encounter. I don't know what decisions are going to face me today. God, would you be with me in this? Because without it, I am going to fall flat on my face. I am going to embarrass myself. I'm going to embarrass, you know, my testimony. Like, I'm going to embarrass everything if I don't have this, you know, if I don't have you with me here. And so that's the dilemma I think I face every single day is, you know, we want to be bold. We want to stand out there and say, this is what we believe in. This is who we are. And then we have the tests that come along that will certainly test us to ensure that, are you what you say you are? Are you what you said you were on Sunday morning when you were worshiping? And is that going to play out Monday through Saturday this week? Or are you going to be asking for forgiveness
right
from Monday through Saturday?
Well, it's interesting. Sometimes we learn the most from people who are not exhibiting those behaviors.
That's right.
You learn what not to do.
That's right.
as opposed to, you know, you're always looking for a mentor, but sometimes the best mentor can be the one that you don't want to be like. You know, I think about my own experiences having to have those difficult conversations and always trying to put myself in that person's shoes and say, when they walk out of this, if I was walking out of that room, how would I want to feel?
That's right.
And I think what you guys are saying aligns with that, is that you just want to leave people with respect and with dignity, and they can move on with their life.
That's right.
So it's kind of a good segue into a more wild, wild west part of the corporate world. And that's how social media influences what we're doing in our workplace and kind of how our faith is part of that whole experience online with social media. So I was just going to ask you guys, and Jacob, if you want to take the lead on it, be great. Just how does social media influence our faith or your faith? And how are you able to use social media to sort of express your beliefs in your professional life?
So I think from the positive first, you know, you always stay learning. I learn a lot from social media, and I think sometimes I'm becoming a better Catholic because I follow some apologetic things. You know, on the flip side of that, I'd even been discerning my own identity and how am I using my platform to evangelize and be, and I want people to see Christ, and not just me. So, social media is everywhere, and it's only going to continue to be everywhere. So I think that's something that I'm more conscious of now, and starting to be more conscious of, is how am I using social media to advance the kingdom of God? Something that I hadn't always thought about. And I think, you know, if you looked at, you know, an old resume, you'd probably just see a bunch of everything about me. And are people seeing God in what you're doing? So I think social media gives us the opportunity to go out there and advance the kingdom of God. And ironically now, I think even most recently at Seek, and we were talking about this earlier, Mike, was, you know, they're calling for missionaries, social media missionaries right now. So, you know, why not us? why not us? We can be that. And I think the more responsibility we have, we should be that, those people. So, you know, that's kind of my answer there for you, Mike.
Yeah, oh, that's great. Jared, how does, certainly in the Savannah Bananas environment, I'm sure social media is a big part of it. So tell me how you navigate all that with your faith.
Yeah, we are on it 24/7, more than that, probably. you know, personally for me, the social media, as Jabe kind of alluded to, is this kind of double-edged sword where the purpose of social media, right, is to advance yourself. And that's kind of counterintuitive to the faith, right, to advance yourself. And so a prayer that I heard a while back was, you know, God, would you become greater, and would you help me become less? Would you help me, you know, humble myself? And so I'm really trying to figure that out. Like, how do I use this platform that's supposed to be all about me, but not make it about me, but draw attention to the things that I am curious about and involved in, and ultimately, you know, sharing some of the things that I believe, you know, God is doing in our life. And so it's a crux. It's like this huge crossroad that, I know some people have certainly figured it out, and some people have certainly made it a fantastic opportunity, but it's something that I am certainly wrestling with and learning. You know, how do I use this, as Jacob mentioned, to advance the kingdom, and not just myself? Yeah. So, man, what a lifelong, probably a lifelong thing. That's not just a social media thing, right? We've all, since the beginning of time, we've been trying to figure out how to not make it all about us.
Right. Absolutely. And we're actually coming up on time here. So I just wanted to give each of you, first off, I want to thank both of you. This has been just a fantastic conversation. I just really appreciate you both coming on and sharing this with our your thoughts with our audience. I just want to give each of you just a minute of time. If you have anything else that you'd like to just express or talk about before we conclude. Jacob, I'll start with you.
Yeah. I believe I said it earlier, but you know, we rise to the level of our goals, fall to the level of our systems. I've just found that if I'm not very intentional, and intentional has been a word that I've just been thinking about a lot this year. Intentional in my conversation, intentional in my relations, intentional in my day, intentional in my morning. You know, first thing that I do, I believe it was St. Jose Maria who talked about the heroic minute, and the first, that's the minute, right? When you wake up, you know, my calling to mind prayer, and something I've been trying to do a lot more consciously this year. But how am I preparing to win each day, not only in my family life, but in my work life, win the day for Christ as well. And I think, you know, one thing that I'm finally starting to learn, and it took me a while to figure it out, was, you know, when I'm focused on these three things, I believe it was Corinthians 3:23. It's rejoice in all things, so be joyful, pray unceasingly, and just show gratitude. When I focus on my gratitude, when I focus on praying in almost everything that I'm doing, and being intentional about those two things every single day, usually joy kind of follows that. A grateful person is usually a happy person. Yeah, you know, I'll kind of leave with that thought is, you know, especially when you're going out and starting a new career and you're trying to live your Catholic identity, focus on your systems. How are you preparing to win each and every day? And are you taking an intentional effort to do that? So, yeah, sanctify ordinary work.
Yep. Terrific. Thank you so much. And Jared.
Yeah. You know, this idea of leadership sometimes is seen as power, right? And, you know, the boss, or, you know, person at the top or whatever. And, you know, really flipping that to this idea of like servant leadership, right? Like being put on this earth to serve others and serve people, whether that's serving the people that you work with or serving the stranger on the street or anybody else. This idea that we are We are stewards. We have been given something. We have some have been given little, some have been given much. And we are stewards of every single piece of it. And so it is our duty and privilege to be able to take the things that we've been created to do and designed to do and placed on this earth to do in the image of God, to be able to steward them well, to be able to manage them well, and to be able to serve people and lead people in a way that is honoring and is true and is, you know, in full humility. And that sounds weak and gross and like, well, you'll never get to the top if you do that stuff. But, you know, I think we'd rather be known as people who led well and led with this servant's heart and led with a care for people than, well, that person got to the top, but they stepped on everybody and mashed them down to get there. I hope the people listening to this will take that approach of, let's be servant leaders through this thing. We are stewards of something great. And I think at the end, that'll be a worthwhile life.
Yeah. And thank you for that. And as we conclude this episode, I want to thank our audience for joining us today. I also want to, again, thank you, Jacob and Jared, for taking the time to be a part of this episode and for the meaningful insight and conversation. I thought it was fantastic. If you enjoyed this episode, please subscribe and tell your friends that Conversatio is available on Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. Until next time, good day and God bless.